podcast.
Go time, baby. Welcome to We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
Okay, a lot to recap.
A lot's happened since we last checked in with our listeners. Very dramatic turn of events this week.
For us, and uniquely us, and no one else in the world.
Yeah.
JK. We even recorded last week's episode early because we were like, well, we're going to head out of town for 2 weeks and we'll be back. And then since then we realized, I guess we live in Massachusetts now.
Yeah. Like, you went up ahead of me with the kids to Massachusetts and I was going to come like a couple days later. And then as soon as you left, the tone of the news started to shift where I was like, wait, I need to get out of here now or I might not be able to leave. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, and so, again, we were in the epicenter
of
all this in Westchester.
Yeah, our schools were closing, so I feel like we had a little bit more of a heads up in terms of like forming a plan of like what we're gonna do, and we didn't yet realize the extent to which they were going to be shutting things down so quickly. I think when we made this plan to leave, like, we didn't know this was gonna be a permanent.
Well, I had enough foresight to pack the recording equipment.
Yeah.
I was like, we'll probably have to record one episode while we're gone.
Well, by the time you left and then I was getting ready to go, I suddenly was like, oh, maybe I need to leave sooner rather than later because maybe other people are going to start to, like, flee the city. And also, like, maybe we need to, like, I was like, maybe we're going to be gone for more than 2 weeks. I was like, maybe it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks. And then by the time I packed up all our stuff and I was just trying to get, like, everything I could think of. Like, I was like, we need this Apple TV. We need this yoga mat.
Do we have a garlic press? We got to bring the garlic
yeah,
press.
Yeah, it's just like I packed up, like, you really learn what's important to you. And it really is mostly just food and clothing. And then by the time I got here, like, days in, it's like, wait, we might live here for months. Like, this is where we live now. Like, we can't, you know, like, we have to stay inside. We've been very quarantined.
I think you and I have barely had time to talk about.
It's been a big adjustment to have 3 adults, 2 kids and 1 dog live in a house together with no one able to leave to do work.
Yes. So we have Beth's sister is here and her dog, and we are in a house. We've got way more space. This is an ancient summer house that my great grandfather bought. That's all of my cousins and I, and my dad and his brothers and sisters and cousins spent every summer coming. So we're very obviously lucky to have access to this place. Beth is allergic to it.
I am severely allergic to this house, but I'm proud of the progress we've made in terms of bleaching down 3 of the rooms. And I started taking some Zyrtec, which is really knocking me out at night. I went to bed last night at 8:30 p.m. and I woke up this morning at 5 a.m. And I have to say, it wasn't bad because I was wide awake at 5 a.m. and I knew I had like 2 hours before anyone would be awake. And I hadn't had that much alone time in over a week. Like, I was just like, what? I was like, this is great. Like, I was like, I guess I'm a 5 a.m. person now because this is the only way I'm going to have like peace.
Honestly, I think maybe you should be.
Yeah.
I think you should go to bed at 8.
Because, I mean, what I lose out in this scenario, unfortunately, is any sort of, like, TV or reading or recreational activity at nighttime. It just means we do dinner, clean up. I, like, get to relax for a half an hour and go to bed. Like,
you know what? Not bad. I certainly loved This is the first, not the first, but this morning I've been underslept, and to wake up and hear that you're giving breakfast to our kids, and I was like, oh, I can sleep in 30 minutes. was a real treat for me as well.
Yeah.
So how are we adjusting to quarantine life? Beth, tell us, let's hear from you first. Tell us about your job, your work, what's been hard.
I mean, I think this is hard for everybody right now because everyone's having to make really a very annoying lifestyle adjustments, but especially parents. But I feel like for me, the relocation has been the difficulty because it was like, okay, I now have to like make sure we have enough food and supplies for this new brand new location. And also I'm very allergic to it and have to try to figure this situation out. And like, there's like a few days when the news was starting to heat up in terms of like what was going to happen where I was like, we might not be able to get packages in a few days. Like I was like, we need to figure this out now, like all of these things, you know, which I now don't think that's going to be an issue. But I do think like people are overloading the delivery people because of this, like because they can't leave their house. They're just like, oh, I'll just like order everything. But it's
I just need to order 10,000 rolls of toilet paper.
Yeah. That's the thing with the toilet paper. It makes no sense that we have a shortage of toilet paper because none of us need any more toilet paper than we had previously.
We don't have a shortage. It's just everyone bought it at the same week.
Right. It's just like so we've the created regular supply.
It'll
shortages.
Be fine in a week.
Like, yeah. I think this was a criticism that some people had of the way politicians rolled out this information was that like they didn't explain to people what the sort of like quarantine, like shelter in place, how that would go down. And in retrospect, like legally, they're not going to like not allow you to get your groceries and your medicine. You know what I mean? Like they're yeah. like that situation is probably not going to happen. But they should have explained that before all these rumors started circulating of how they were going to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's what caused people to panic. And like, anyway.
So we are basically there's been some major stresses, like I'm sure almost everybody in this country is going through right now. But part of the weird thing is like, we're now sort of homeowners. Like we have a house. Like we weren't getting our mail. I had our mail for it and it wasn't arriving. And so then the post office said our address isn't real. So I had to go to the post office and they said they mixed the road and avenue. And then I met the mail carrier and he was like, mail was addressed to here, but I didn't believe it because no, I've never delivered mail to this house.
Well, we're in this situation years. Where, like, we've moved, but we didn't know we moved until we moved. And now it's just, like, how do you get all your life and paperwork in order and, like, you live here now? Like, do you know, it's just, I think a lot of people are having this issue where, like, I think there's people who are, like, pregnant or have little babies who are, like, you know, we just don't want to risk, like, waiting this out in New York City or whatever. And I know people should stay where they are, but I do think some people have like extenuating circumstances where it's really like a lot better idea for them to just like get out of the way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Especially if you can do it like in your car and just like leave and not like quarantine for a few days and not like encounter anyone if you're, moving.
I mean, we had a situation where we could drive straight from here from our apartment to an empty house and not interact with a single person.
I don't know. It's a very weird situation. I feel like the fact that we're in this house is making it extra weird. Like it just feels, I don't know. It's hard for me to not read too deeply into like the meaning, the spiritual meaning of all this. And I'm like, I feel like I was brought back to my home state to like wait out this weird life event, and you were brought back to your like ancestral home that has been in your family for like four generations.
My great grandfather probably fled here to escape the Spanish flu.
The flu, yeah, I don't know.
In 1918.
Massachusetts is kind of like a spooky state to like wait out,
you know, because like a
disease.
I mean, we're a couple of a few miles from Plymouth Rock.
Yeah,
I don't know what that symbolizes, but
that karma.
Boy, we're really narrowing down where we are. So anyway, found out the mailman can't deliver us our mail because technically this house is on a county road, and the address is on the like a little bit in from that road. And there's a mailbox, and they won't bring us our mail because we got to have a mailbox on the big road. So
you had to go buy a mailbox.
I went to Lowe's. I bought a mailbox, a post, a hole digging tool, cement, and some sticky letters. And I am going to do the most home projecty project I've ever done.
It's weird. It's hard not to feel like you're like a homesteader when you're here, because we're in this like spooky old house with like many bedrooms, and like there, it's just like, it's sort of
haunted.
Like it's just run down in a very natural way, where like no one is here like very much. Like no one is ever here more than like a week. So it's like just kind of this. It's bizarre.
But every time, so my dad would come here, you know, in the 50s when he was a kid, and his grandfather, who was sort of a very serious, sort of mean dude, would just put everyone to work, and he'd just have to always be cutting tree stumps out of the yard and climbing into the attic to fix the thing. So when I started coming here as a kid.
You arrived and you like just reflexively started picking up sticks around the backyard. Like you were like, we got to clean up the yard. Like you just like went into home improvement mode immediately.
I called my dad and I was like, there's some mold on the edge of the roof outside. I got to go get the thing from the, and I was like, I think we need to replace the horseshoe pits. I raked the horseshoe pits. I was like, I looked up how to get some lumber and weather it. And I was like, I'm going to rebuild these horseshoe pits. I don't have time for this. But boy, we ordered a bunch of stuff. I'm building a mailbox.
It's, yeah. We're cooking more food for every meal of the day than we've ever cooked in our lives. We're taking walks just nonstop. It's like, I just feel like any second I'm going to tap maple syrup out of a tree and like start, you know, like a potato garden.
And
like,
pretty soon we're going to accuse our neighbors of being witches and we're going to have a witch trial.
Oh no, I'll be the only witch around here.
You're going to get burned at the stake.
I
then me, I'm going to be John Proctor.
Yeah.
Is that that's that, right? The Crucible. So how about our kids? We're parents. This is a parenting podcast.
We've seen so much of our kids this week. It's just nonstop. So much homeschooling.
So I feel weird about this because the teacher, the system, the remote learning, boy, they're doing their best, but it's a real convoluted system.
I'll say for me, it's just not going to work. Like it digitally teaching kids is not really going to be engaging unless it's like really entertaining, like YouTube channel.
Like it's Story Pirates Radio, which launched today, every day at 11 a.m. You can listen from 11 to 12. It's a live radio show.
Check that out. I just think it has to be natural. And like when I get those, I swear to God, it felt like we got 1,000 emails from his school this week, and he's a kindergartner. Like, what do they think he's slipping up on in the span of 5 days? Like, everyone, just slow your roll.
Well, they're not asking us to like turn anything in. The teacher sends assignments, and I don't.
All of her emails are no reply, so you don't have the option to ever weigh in on like anything that's happening.
That being said, she emailed me today.
Really?
Directly. And I think she's emailing everybody, but she just wants to check in. And I'm going to tell her all about daddy school.
I just think, like, the way that we, like, interact with them, if we're going to sit there and, like, draw on stuff, is sort of more naturally educational than any, like, weird, like, thing that some learning center is going to tell us to do.
Some learning person. some teacher, quote unquote.
Brynn keeps making these stories, and it's like the dragon farted, and then and it's just they're so gross and dumb, but it makes him want to sit there and draw and write and do things for hours.
So we do every day. We do Daddy School, which I called it the first day, and now Brynn is very serious about attending Daddy School. And we have achieved, it's one-on-one learning, so you're going to get through far more stuff than when a 1 to 16 ratio or whatever his class is. So the kid is good at math, and now he can do addition and subtraction millions.
Well, I'll say this week I realized Maven,
and multiplication.
Maven is starting to read and do math. I wrote mom on the beach and she walked up to it from above and said, "Wow." And then she looked at it again and she was like, "Mom." It was so weird. And then she was doing math tonight at the table, sort of. She was saying how many people were in the room and stuff.
Yeah. Today she cracked math. Because I haven't paid any attention to her.
Well, I
because
was telling,
Brynn, as the
older
child,
tonight,
still takes up all the attention.
What I was saying tonight at dinner, though, is as the second child, she gets a contact high version of education. She's just she witnesses Brynn's learning every day, and she just picks it up through osmosis.
Yeah, the musicality of it, she picks up. But today was the first day. I was like, "All right, Maven, you get a math lesson." I wrote a sheet of just all these really hard math problems for Brynn to keep him busy so I could actually focus on Maven. And she knows 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, the simple things. And then I actually sat down and explained to her how to do it. And then I gave her 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3, 1 plus 4, and then 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3, 3 plus 1, 3 plus 2, 3 plus 3, all the way up to 5 plus whatever. And I gave her that sheet. And for the first time ever, she did every single one up to 5 plus 5. And I think there's just someone actually paid attention to her for more than 5 seconds. And then she's like, "Oh, I get it." And she does this weird finger counting thing, which she got everyone correct. Now I'm teaching Brynn multiplication. He multiplied, 8,642 times
what?
13 today.
That's more than I could do right now.
I had to remember how to do it. I was like, "You line this up." But Brynn, we started that today, and he gets it. He's 5. But I don't remember when you learned that. But we're going to drill more multiplication
I
tomorrow.
Feel like in school you learn that in 5th grade.
That's before then, but
I don't know.
But also, they might do it different now. I think math, they keep changing it.
Yeah. I like to leave the math to you. You can be the math teacher. I'm fine with that.
I love it.
We should have our domains. My class is a little bit more freeform.
We learned music today, too.
When you come to my class, you come to explore.
Where is it leading us today? Children.
Well, my sister has been doing some little lessons with them, and it's very nature based, and she got a bird feeder and stuff. And we had the craziest moment where she wanted to make bird watching journals, and I was like, "Oh, well, maybe it could be an animal journal, so it could be all the animals you see throughout the day." So they're making these bird and animal journals to catalog what they see, and right as they finished, Maven and Brynn both spell out the title page of the book. A turkey starts walking through the backyard.
A giant aggressive turkey.
Just the funniest little turkey, walking alone. And
he's like, "You guys talking about me?"
It just was the timing of it couldn't have been more perfect. And it was it just, I love signs. And
yeah,
I was
the night before. So Nick and I have been doing trek shows via Zoom. Live streaming, which is insane, a whole other story. And the night before we did a show, the main plot line was a giant turkey who takes over New York City and becomes a giant, Batman-esque crime boss. In the end, we had to kill this giant turkey, and he was roughing everyone up. And the next day, this aggressive turkey comes into the yard. It's insane.
Crazy. It's. I also saw a raccoon this morning when I was up at 5 a.m.
Fun. So. Has he found the garbage in the garage yet that we can't throw away? Because this town doesn't have garbage collection. So you have to go get a garbage permit from town hall and use a special bag.
No one cares.
And at town hall's closed because of
what the raccoon was doing was he was climbing on a kayak. He was like,
I'm sorry, what?
He was climbing on a kayak across the way. That's what he was doing.
Whoa. He's trying to get away, huh?
Yeah.
So I gotta go. I gotta go back home tomorrow night. To get stuff.
To forage for supplies.
Yeah. Boy. Oh.
This whole week is so surreal because, like, when I was, like, packing to leave our home, it was, like, this flash of, like, is this the last time I'll be here? Like, what is happening? Like, you know, it was just, this week has been so up and down, like, emotionally. I think, like, when we stay off the computer and social media, I feel like we have a chance to calm down and just like eat a meal and like whatever. But yeah, it's just been such a crazy week.
I did have a full like emotional breakdown in Lowe's today. I was looking for cement. I had a cart full of mailbox pieces, a mailbox, a post, all the things. And then I just had a moment. I was like, where is the cement? And then it just became a truly overwhelming task to, one, find cement and to know how much cement I needed and what kind. And I literally just stood there in the aisle for like...
I'm really like, interested to see how this project is going to go.
Oh, I'm going to do it or I'm going to lose my mind.
Definitely one of the two.
I'm going to build this goddamn mailbox.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Normally this section of the podcast is our week in review, and I feel like we barely even got to, like, so much has happened.
I spent so much of this week just like completely overwhelmed by the fact, like, I got a hold of some Zyrtec, I'm more medicated, but
yeah,
when I was just taking Allegra, it was, and before we got a new mattress cover for the mattress, like, I was just like, my whole head was constantly so inflamed and the kids were just jumping on me nonstop and you were taking loud conference calls and like I was just allergic to like every surface in the, it felt like, and I was just like, what is this life? Like, yeah. I was like,
I had that today. I've been fine until I was in the middle of Lowe's.
Yeah.
And I was like, I might just leave this cart right here and walk out into the snow because I can't touch it. Corona. I can't touch things.
It would. Yeah.
Anyway,
just natural reactions that I think everyone is having this week is like, just everyone is like, what the, like, especially people who are trying to figure out childcare and people who are trying to figure out how to work from home and make their companies work from home. And like, just so much change for so many people all at once.
It is so much uncertainty. I mean, yeah. So most of our friends are artists who have real sort of slap together type of employment.
So many people we know are just like, their income is just gone. Evaporated overnight.
So, you know, part of my job at Story Pirates is to it's like cast all the shows that happen all the time. So there's no shows to be cast. So I sent a sign up out. Really just to be like, hey, how are you? What are you doing? And, you know, this is like 100+ people. And most people are like, well, I'm unemployed. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck in my apartment in New York City. Varying levels of panic. And I was really happy to read it just because it makes you feel less alone. And also to know that like we're doing great. We have nothing to complain about. Compared to so many people who truly don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, I feel really grateful in a lot of ways. And I feel like In some ways, I feel like life has really prepared us for this moment. Like, I feel like having kids, I'm very prepared for social distancing. Like, I'm like, I can handle this. I never get to see anyone. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
like,
we moved to the suburbs when our son was born and never made any friends.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm fine with not commuting. We'll figure that out. Like, the trying to do work is going to take some scheduling and some finagling. But yeah. I think what was so hard about this week is that we didn't have systems and we didn't have proper boundaries in place of like today was the first day all week where you kept the kids away from me and there was a door closed and it was like, mommy is working.
Yeah.
And I was actually not interrupted for like stretches of more than 20 minutes. Like,
it was so much better for me too, just to know like, oh, keep them away from this person until this time.
It's just like, I have found it's so bad for my sanity if I'm not able to be productive in any way, like work-wise. Like, it's like, ideally, I get to work on all the things I care about, but if I can just grab like at least a couple hours to feel like I've been useful, it's like, it's so much better for my mental health. Otherwise, I just feel so insane.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I don't know. If this was a vacation, that would be one thing, and I could just unplug, but it's like,
it's not.
I've already missed, like, I've been severely unproductive for like a full week of work, and I'm like, okay, I have to like,
yeah,
figure my life out now.
Like, in the middle of all this, we haven't had a plan, we haven't had a daily schedule, and for me, suddenly, Story Pirates, which is our busy season, going into like 40 schools in a month, suddenly we're have to completely reinvent ourselves, and we have to figure out how to digitize all of our in-person stuff. And so I had to figure out how to do that sort of by myself in 2 days. And so I've been going nonstop. And it's exciting in a weird way. And then also I have moments where I'm like, I'm crying in Lowe's.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's weird for us because our work was already so wildly unpredictable in terms of income and opportunity. So like, in some ways I'm like, this is just bringing everyone down to our level of like, what's next? But I also like, you have these moments where you're like, is there just not going to be any industry for anything for 6 months? Like, you just like,
you're like, oh yeah. And we're trying to close on a house.
Right.
And theoretically next week, but instead now it's probably scheduled to happen at the crest of the coronavirus cases.
There's like, you go back and forth between like panic and then this like moment of resignation where you're like, well, no one knows anything about anything anymore.
It sort of nothing feels exciting that all like, the rules are gone.
It is like, I'm like, you know what? At a certain point, we just have to agree like time is no longer real. Money is not real. None of this stuff is real. Let's just like figure it out. Get the food to people who need the food.
Wipe. Let's, you know, I think Thanos really had a point. You know what I mean?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, boy. All right, let's end the segment and I'll explain the plot of Avengers. And now it's time for We Knows What They're Watching. This is where we talk about what our kids are seeing. Not necessarily TV, although they're seeing plenty of that these days. We want to now examine the current state of the world through our kids' eyes. I think it's safe to say that they're
blissfully unaware. They're like,
Bryn knows that something's weird.
Not really. He's not really asking a lot of questions. I think he's in a like little kid vacation mode because we're in a different house than he's normally in, and we're all together with him, and his auntie Allie is here and her dog, and he's just like, time is so not real to him that he doesn't know like how long he's been here.
He did say, are we going home on Saturday?
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I guess that is, I did say we were going for 2 weeks in the beginning.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway,
the kid
he's just
knows
like
his days.
I don't know. Those kids are very
Maven like, does not care.
Yeah. She's having the time of her life, sashaying around the house, eating snacks. They're both eating a million apple and peanut butter.
This bowls. Is their new jam. Is Bryn has had like 15 apples.
This
with
is like
butter.
The crazy thing of our new homesteader life is that we all just eat way more fresh food because we're just at home and you can like cut things up easily and like.
Speak for yourself. My diet has been a disaster.
Oh, I mean, I'm also eating a lot of sugar, but I feel like I'm eating a lot of fresh food too.
Yeah, well, you made brownies today, and I scarfed them.
I made those brownies with the kids as my afternoon activity because I like to do things that feel sort of educational but also like purposeful.
I'm not saying you did a bad thing. I just hated that you did it.
So we made those brownies, and then I was letting them dump these like Reese's Pieces into the brownies, and
did
they
you
were
say
like
Reese's Pieces?
Yeah. Reese's Pieces, and go. They were losing their minds at the candy, and like they were just like when they were waiting for the brownies to be done, and they were like hugging each other in anticipation and like shrieking, and they were doing a countdown on the microwave, and I was like, this is really, they're having the time of their lives. This is like very epic.
Yeah.
And then I had to hide the bag of candy from them, obviously.
I've explained, I mean, we talked about this a bit, was it last week or the week before? You know, the listener says, how do you explain to her daughter who her biological father was? And I really went with the playbook of my mom, which was, I've explained this whole thing to Bryn. And just that tone of like, I didn't show him that I was scared. I was like, yeah, you know, you could, if people are sick or old and they get this, they could die, and the dangers of it. And you could see him registering the weight of things, but it still was a like, well, it doesn't affect me type of attitude.
I think with this, they're not really understanding it, but once again, they're learning through osmosis based on our behaviors. So like, I feel like in terms of my childhood and what I picked up from my like parents and grandparents, it was very like, don't waste food, don't waste things. Like, you're not going to have a lot of these things. Like, you know what I mean? And like what I have noticed since we've been here, I haven't even been like harassing the kids about washing their hands as much because now we're just in a contained space.
Yeah.
But they've started trying to wash their hands more, and I feel like it's just because they see us like washing packages down and like washing our hands. Like
they do
just
see
like
us Clorox spraying.
They're just
Amazon
like,
packages.
They're kind of just like absorbing the cleaning anxiety. Like we got down on our hands and knees and scrubbed many floors with bleach the other day. Like our kids are like, okay, I guess we need to wash things.
Yeah.
But they still have only taken one bath.
Is that true? That is unacceptable. Although, when's the last time I had a shower? I was at Lowe's, you know, after my breakdown.
I showered like 2 or 3 times a day because I'm covered in dust mites.
Yeah. Well, I finally went to check out at Lowe's, and I got in line, and everyone's, you know, super healthy distance for everyone's real quiet and nervous. And I buy this thing from this real like, that'll be $21.50 type of gangly young man. And as I was paying, I was like, oh, I can smell this kid's BO. This is like a dirty kid. And then I rolled away and smelled it again and realized, oh, it's me. I haven't showered in 2 days. I'm
that
wearing an Ewok
boy.
Adventure Caravan of Courage hooded sweatshirt. And I look disgusting. And I'm crying in Lowe's.
Everybody's going to crack sometime.
Yeah, and I did it. Looking for cement. I got 80 pounds of cement. And it started raining outside. It's like, is this going to turn solid? Is this going to get wet? Boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I have these like heavy moments where it's like I finally get to like be alone for a second. And then I sit there and I'm like, I would be like, ugh. This is really happening. Like, like you just like realize, like you're like, this is gonna be a while. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be fine. We're very lucky. We're in a good situation here.
You know, what's not great is you know, we're we have this home purchase coming up, and we have some renovations that we're going to do, and some of the funding of that.
Yeah, I don't want
to. Is tied up in the stock market.
I know.
So I'm watching that, knowing I shouldn't even look at it right now.
Right now, I just want to think about like the day to day of like, do we have food, and like,
are there killer germs on our hands and now in our eyes? My brother had coronavirus. He's fine now.
More than anything, sometimes like my goal.
We're skipping past that, I guess. What? Go ahead. What?
No, keep mumbling under me talking.
Okay.
So it's intelligible what either of us is saying.
The listeners heard it. I'm just kidding. What?
I forgot what I was saying.
I don't know. I was talking about how my brother had coronavirus. Are you still there?
Yeah, but I forgot what I was saying.
All right, I'm going to take
a... I can't...
You know...
I can't function with the noise coming at me. That's part of my pain of this whole week. It's just, like, I need space and, like, I need room to think where there's not, like, talking happening.
You know what we need to do right now, Beth? We're going to take a hard left turn into a different segment within this segment. I think we need to do a quick... We knows what they look like. Because people keep sending us baby photos. Are you ready?
Okay.
This is something we don't need to think about. Boy, great. This is just listen to Mommy's Fired Forever. So not only did you discuss winter coats and car seats, but you had baby pic segment. Oh, yes. My wife and I run a lodge in northern Maine. We have two kids. Walter is 2 and Annie is 5 months. We had a shutdown for the season 2 weeks early because of COVID-19. But we are closed in April anyway. I was going to just send the picture of Walter in his car seat, but I didn't want to leave Annie out. So a bunch of other cute pics. So apologize for sending so many. Thanks for all the insight and humor, making parenting a little less stressful. Our kids seem to be similar in ages, an age difference. So your insight is particularly helpful. All right, Beth, are you ready?
Photo jackpot.
Ready for this. Here we go.
Just give me the...
Okay, I'm just going to give Beth the phone. And just so you know, the last photo is the jackpot. All right, here we go.
Big stretch.
Okay, we're just going to listen to Beth react.
I like how you explained how I would narrate. Okay, I'm looking at a very sweet asleep boy in a car seat. In mittens, and has a book called Never Touch a Porcupine sitting on his lap that he's holding in his sleep. That's very, very cute.
What? Wait. Are you kidding me? That's the name of the book?
Yeah.
So we started Story Pirates Radio today, and my character Peter called in, and I was given a brand new pet from a kid listener, and it was a porcupine. And the whole bit was me trying to snuggle the porcupine and hurting myself over and over and over and over again.
It's another animal sign.
I guess I looked at this picture and didn't process that.
And then I'm looking at another cutie. I think he said this is daughter, right? This is...
the younger one.
She's on skis, and she's very cute, and she has very cute cheeks. And, the last picture is a baby in a bathtub looking very surprised.
That's the one.
It's really good. Just... Slippery, shocked baby face.
That's slippery, good. Shocked baby face.
Those little slippery bodies. They're like, why am I wet? What is
wet? What is happening?
That is how I feel this week. It's like I keep texting my friends and we're like, what is time? What is life? Who am I?
What is love?
Where am I?
Baby, don't hurt me.
What is this?
Don't hurt me.
No one knows.
That was from Mike. Thank you, Mike. This one comes from Craig. In this time, it's a bit scary, but there's still excitement of a new addition to the family. My new son born today with his 5 and 2-year-old sisters. Oh my God, look at this. Not a stressful time to have a baby at all.
Oh my God, so cute. little fox jammies on this baby.
Get out of town.
Big sister in a big sister shirt.
We did.
Other big sister taking in the weight of her reality shifting from being youngest to middle.
What do you think was a bigger deal? The pandemic or new sibling?
I don't really remember being like having feelings about my sister being there, aside from being really excited to have a sister. So I don't think, I think because I was older, I wasn't like, I'm the baby. Like, you know, I was like 5 years old when my sister was born.
Well, me too. I was like 5 or 6 when my little brother was born.
Yeah, I was really mature and I was so cool about it and didn't really have a problem.
I remember.
I'm still cool with it and I don't even resent her. Not a big deal.
Yeah, so much so that you're going to let her live with us and her dog.
She lives with us now forever.
Okay, one more baby picture. There's a lot more, guys, but I didn't look them up. So here's one more. This is from Nicola. We jumping on the baby bandwagon. So here we go. Photos of my daughter are from when she was 6 weeks old, 9 weeks old, then 6 months old. The last one's not downloading. I'm so sorry, but these first two are great. Describe it, Beth. Ready? Last one. Go.
It takes so long to pass the phone. Okay, so, oh my God, it's a baby with a Christmas present bow on its head and a little bib, chunky cheeks. Oh my God, there's a sad face baby with the lip. The lower lip is so good. Oh my God. Our kids were doing sad faces tonight and being really insane.
Oh boy, looking at baby pictures really brought me out of you know.
That's why I keep trying to post some fun vids of our kids. Well, I mean, I've managed to post like two because there's never any time to think. But they're like, I feel like we need a little like levity in this time, and I'm like, I really feel like we need to be mindful of our social media presence and not put more like chaos out.
If you would like to hear a delightful story that does have butts and death in it, written by Bryn, you can go to my Instagram. And please enjoy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Brennan made... So, can we talk about these books they made?
Yeah, real quick.
We knows what they're writing. Yeah. They, Brennan and Maven both wrote books this week. And Maven's book is called Unicorns Are Everywhere. And on
she dictated that book to
She dictated the book to my sister. And then on every page, regardless of the caption, Maven drew a unicorn in the same position on every page.
It says, like, the bad guys destroyed the castle, and it's a picture of a rainbow unicorn. They rebuilt the castle, a picture of a green unicorn.
But, like, the pages are so great because it's like, the unicorns were everywhere. The unicorns went anywhere they wanted. Like, it was just, like, her trying to come up with a caption for each page, just like with no sequencing.
And then the last page is the only page with no illustration, and it just says the unicorns were done. The end.
And Bryn's book is about a dragon who I believe kills a unicorn.
Kills a unicorn Maven. Named Maven.
Yeah. And he was like, that's funny, right? And she's like, yeah. It was like, it felt very much like a inappropriate like workplace dynamic. Like, it was just like, he's like, it's funny how I made this thing where you die, isn't it? Like,
she's like, yeah. Well,
yeah, cool. I'm cool with this.
In the end, he says, Sam the dragon didn't want any friends. He was happy to be alone. The end.
Yeah, it was a really haunting ending.
Inappropriate for the times, right?
It was like after he killed two unicorns, and it was like he really just wanted to be alone.
Well, it also said that he didn't know that he killed them.
Oh, yeah. He didn't realize when he was like shooting fire at them.
I think he wrote, he didn't realize he killed another unicorn.
Yeah.
He flies away.
Plausible deniability.
So you know.
You got it. That's why you just looked the other way.
I definitely got to post a picture of that story.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows, where we take questions and comments from you guys.
All right, here's some quick ones. Here we go. This one comes to us from John. Subject line, children licking. Hi, Beth and Peter. Our family got haircuts a couple of weeks ago, and our three-year-old son licked a random coat that was hanging up multiple times. Yesterday, he licked the top of the croc I was wearing as we were playing outside. Just wanted to share. Keep up the good work. Oh, best of luck. Staying safe, John.
That makes me feel better. That's what makes me feel so much better about coming out here to the middle of nowhere, sort of, is like we can take the kids outside. They can go in the yard. They can go on the beach. They still won't touch anything that anyone else has come near. Because if we were to take them anywhere, even just out our front door at our apartment, they would encounter things other people had touched.
Yeah, and our co-op, just every doorknob.
Just like...
It's like 100 people.
And they'd just be licking and touching everything, rolling around, just like, you know, putting their hands on the floor every chance. Like, that's just... They're animals. They're wild animals.
And we'd rather have them licking things that wild animals are licking, like pine cones and sticks outside, than...
I kind of didn't realize how much we are like city folk until we spent a week out here, and now our kids are just like covered in dirt.
Yeah.
You know, like, wait, I'm just like, gonna say, oh.
You really hit the L in folk.
Yeah. I just wanted to be clear.
Just
who I'm referring to.
Folk.
We know who we are.
Yeah, we're real natural sounding country folk. Real quick, our friend Eliana wrote in to tell us about Lunch Doodles with Mo Willems, which we did hear about and we have watched.
There, it does seem like there's some good content popping up online of educational stuff. People
like Story Pirates Radio every day at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And Mo Willems does Doodles with Mo Willems at 1 p.m., I think, live stream. There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Mo Willems, the children's book author, illustrator who does the pigeon ones, right?
Yeah, Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, the Elephant and Piggy, Nuffle Bunny.
He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, Mo Willems, ever heard of him?
Okay. You get the picture.
You get the picture.
We don't have to tell you twice. So, I mean, write into us and tell us what you guys are finding. It occurred to me to try to do some research for this, but then I thought, you know what? We're going to be here for a while. We'll see.
We'll see what sticks.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what our kids are actually responding to, because we haven't had a chance to really do... We haven't really done any rigorous homeschooling aside from what we bragged about.
I mean, daddy school is taking off. If people want to join me for daddy school... We will be streaming live at random times because we don't have a plan and we'll never forget about it.
The curriculum at daddy school is largely dictated by the children in the room where daddy is.
Yeah, and what daddy is thinking now. Ooh, Bryn's teacher just posted a new announcement. Attached is the... sorry, it's loading. Attached is the literacy lesson with Miss... Name I'm not going to say...
Okay.
Wishy-washy anyway, ice cream.
No one wants to hear you read this email.
I thought it was going to be exciting. All right, last one.
But I will say one of the daddy school activities that I think was a success is the kids alternated drawing every letter of the alphabet and then drawing a picture of something that started with that letter and hanging it around their room. So
that is officially the classroom now, because it has the capital A, lowercase a, alligator.
Yeah, we're lucky to be in a very large house right now.
Oh my god, yeah.
With room for a classroom.
If we were still in our apartment, who would have been murdered first? I know many of you are, and we want to hear from you. Let's do one more email, then I'm going to finish that thought. Last one, Beth, ready? Here's a good old-fashioned would you knows scenario. This comes to us from Lily. Would you knows what to do if one day when you're waiting at the airport and one of your kids had a sneezing attack, but also a bloody nose? So they were sneezing blood all over themselves and the people next to them, and the other kid was screaming their head off and throwing a tantrum in the middle of the airport. How would you react? Does it feel like this is one of those?
So my kid is sneezing blood?
Yes, your kid is sneezing blood on the other kid and neighbors, and the other kid is freaking out, having a full tantrum. I assume
this is not happening in the middle of coronavirus, because you're probably not traveling by air.
Well, I bet this did happen. Or this is just a nightmare Lily had.
Well, it might not. It might have happened before we were experiencing a pandemic.
Well, this email was sent a week and 2 days ago.
Okay, so that's
it was literally
people,
a lifetime ago.
Yeah, it was a that was a full year ago. Okay, so I'm going to answer this question as if there isn't a pandemic happening. How would I react? I would be like, "Oh my God." Sorry.
Whoa, really? Oh my God, sorry? Oh my God, sorry, guys.
Oh man, I guess I would like hopefully have some baby wipes on me that I could like hand out to people.
I would throw my child's head in a backpack and just let him sneeze it out in there. This used, you know, this is just marked, when we started this podcast, we had a would you know similar to this that really stressed me out. And I was like, oh my God, what would this happen in public? I would just bury their head in something and run them to the bathroom and just nothing to see here type of attitude. But I'm a changed man. And in this scenario, I'm like, people can deal.
Especially this week, everything like Maven, first thing this morning, tripped and split her lip open on the floor. And then like, she later in the day was like had like brownie like chocolate all over her, and I was looking at her at the end of the day and she was like all dirty and just had like blood and chocolate on her shirt, and I was like, wow, we're really living the life. This is our life now.
We're real country folk.
We're country folk.
We're country folks. And you know what, if you gotta bleed, you bleed where you is, you know. I mean, it's a different thing if I was in an airport right now during coronavirus and my child started shooting blood at people, I would feel much worse.
I mean, hopefully someone would like squeeze out some hand sanitizer for everybody and they could just,
well,
go
they
to
can't
town.
Because they don't have any because their neighbor bought a whole garage full of it.
Usually somebody has some handy.
I went into Walgreens today next to the post office just to be like, I wonder if there's any cleaning supply. Nope, not a single thing. Mm. Neither did Lowe's.
Yeah.
Guys, just spread out. Don't buy 10,000 things.
Don't buy 10,000 things, people.
Buy 1,000 things. That's all you need. Well, this has been another episode of We Know's Parenting. Do we answer that question? Boy, I think we're just like, we'd clean it up.
The answer is I would panic and handle it poorly.
The answer is I would freak out. I would walk away and say, I don't know who that kid is. If he were my kid, I'd be embarrassed.
I would run to the bathroom with the child, leave my luggage, and never come back again.
I'd leave my cart full of cement in the middle of the aisle. In this case, my child, and just get on a plane to another place. And that's where we're going to leave you, dear listeners. This has been another episode of We Know's Parenting. Here's what I want. I want people
I
know.
I want to hear how you guys are coping.
Yes.
And I want to hear what fun activities are you doing with your kids to kill time.
How are you managing your work schedule with being a teacher now? And how are you managing your time with a partner if you have one?
Yeah, or if you're single parenting it, which God bless you.
Yes.
How
are you doing in tiny apartments? Are you in New York City where you're especially trapped? Other places similarly? Are you in a place where it feels like this is all overblown, crazy, not a real thing? It is a real thing. Good for you if you're not near New York City. Well, this took a turn. But let us know how you're doing.
Good for you, assholes.
Let us know how your parenting life has changed. We'd love to share activities and your stories.
And yeah, stay safe out there. Okay, you can email us any of that at weknowspod@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, which we would love, at 347-384-7396.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, We Knows Pod.
Rate, review, subscribe. Buy my book, There's No Manual, Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby.
Listen to Story Pirates Radio live every day this week at 11 a.m. It's free this week. After that, go just listen to it. And Story Pirates Podcast launches every Thursday. You know you're looking for digital content. Let's do it, guys. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.